You are listening to NPR News, and I'm Angela Davis. You know, there is a lot of interest in the future of the Ford plant site in St. Paul along the beautiful Mississippi River. Anticipation of what the redevelopment of all those acres will bring in the years to come. But what about its past? You know, for many people, that is just as intriguing. When the assembly plant opened back in 1925, the site was one of Ford's largest and most innovative in the country. Over the years, it employed thousands of Minnesotans and spurred the growth of the Highland Park neighborhood in St. Paul. The plant closed in 2011, as you know, and now, thanks to a new documentary called Made in St. Paul, Stories from the Ford Plant, its history is captured in a very captivating way. I'm so excited to meet Peter Myers. He is the producer of this new documentary that will air tonight at 9 o'clock on TPT Twin Cities PBS Channel 2. He is here now with a preview. Good to meet you, Peter.
Nice to be here.
So I took a little peek. There is an excerpt of the documentary on the TPT website, and it looks like you had a lot to work with there. Lots of historical photos and even video over the last several decades. Tell us about, you know, the material that you had.
Well, you can imagine a plant with 86 years of history. There are lots of stories and lots of memories of that plant. Coming up with enough pictures and video was a bit of a challenge. But fortunately, we had some great resources from the Minnesota Historical Society, the Henry Ford Museum. But then what was really fun was that a lot of people who worked at the plant had their own personal collection of photos and some videos, and some of them were quite good. So we pulled all those together and combined with interviews with a couple dozen former plant workers, I think came up with a great way to tell some of the stories from the plant.
It sounds so intriguing. Let's talk about the people, the voices in this documentary. You interviewed quite a few people. Tell us about some of the folks who are in it.
Well, most of the folks we interviewed were people who had worked at the plant, and I must say that I was impressed with the longevity. The vast majority of these people worked there for 30-plus years, virtually their entire working life at this plant. In some cases, they transferred here from a different Ford plant, but the fact that so many people stayed there for so long was intriguing to me. And the workers really broke down into several categories. There were the hourly workers, who were the people you think of perhaps the most when you think of an assembly line, people on the line, doing a very specific job, staying in one stationary place hour after hour, turning the bolts or lifting the seat over to put in the car, whatever it is. Those were the hourly workers. And then there were people that were the people in charge of the plant engineering and maintenance. And they were the folks that helped design the plant and design the equipment. And then, of course, you had managers and supervisors. So you had quite a few different categories of people. And we managed to talk to people from all of those different categories, plus a few noted local historians.
Well, what I have loved learning about this is like what was going on in St. Paul in the 1920s. So take us back to 1925 when this plant opened. Henry Ford, I mean, he was very interested in that location, St. Paul, Minnesota, along the Mississippi. Tell us why that was such a draw.
Well, back in the early 1900s, Henry Ford actually had a couple dozen assembly plants around the country. He found it more efficient to ship the parts to various assembly plants rather than ship the entire finished vehicle. But what appealed to him about the St. Paul site, and he was personally involved in the selection of this site, was the combination of factors. He wanted a navigational access on a major waterway, so he had the Mississippi. He wanted the potential for hydroelectric power, and for that purpose, he was able to secure the rights to the electricity from the high dam. And he wanted silica sand for making glass, and this is the only plant, we believe, that had silica sand directly under the plant that was used for the glass furnaces in the plant. And I think he was also attracted by the Midwestern work ethic and the quality workforce that he would find in the Midwest. There were a lot of farmers initially who came to work in the plant. So I think all those factors came together to make this a very unique site for him.
And back then, too, in 1925, that part of St. Paul, it wasn't developed. It was just a lot of land. Like, what was even there then?
Not much. If you look at the aerial photographs from, say, 1920, there's not much there. The College of St. Catherine had been established by that time. And there were a few scattered buildings, but it's largely farmland. Mm-hmm. And so he actually had to have a team of people go out and assemble the parcel.
Well, you were very kind. You shared some excerpts of the documentary so that we could play them for our listeners. And I want to take a moment to hear from a couple of those retired Ford plant workers that you interviewed. This first clip is from Ford retiree Bill Smith describing working on the assembly line.
Repetitive motion and sometimes the simple boredom of the job. The only relief you got was if there was a line breakdown. And they were supposed to give you something called quote-unquote personal time, which is like wipe your forehead, blow your nose, and so on.
I can envision it.
That was a tough thing, and it was even tougher back in the 40s and 50s before working conditions improved. But if you had a job on an assembly line, you literally could not take 10 or 15 seconds away from that job without getting someone to come and relieve you, because the line was moving so fast, there was just no time, because if one person misses their particular task, it could mess up the entire process downstream.
Mm-hmm. We also have part of an interview with another retired Ford plant worker. Her name is Debbie Francis, and we want to share this with our listeners. She describes the close relationships that formed there.
We had such get-togethers, like at Christmas, every line would have their own dinners, everybody would bring food, birthdays, everything was celebrated there. So it was fun. It was hard work.
A very tight-knit community.
There was a lot of camaraderie, and these folks to this day continue to get together several times a year at picnics and Christmas parties. And I think maybe because the work was sometimes so monotonous and demanding, it just it fueled the need to have camaraderie and have some fun. But it's a very supportive group, and I was really impressed with how much they all look after each other.
Mm-hmm. You also, in the documentary, you explore the ups and downs over the years with strikes, the Great Depression. What were some of the changes in U.S. history that you noted?
Well, probably the biggest change was the formation of the United Auto Workers in the late 30s. Although Ford was the last auto company to sign with the UAW, the plant played a major role in World War II, producing M8 armored vehicles and machining parts for Pratt & Whitney engines. But it was really in the 50s and 60s where labor conditions improved, management labor relations improved, and the workers' lives also improved with a more enlightened approach to management.
Yeah, and we saw women came, and then people of color came. It tells the story of just how our country evolved.
That's right. Like a lot of workplaces, it was almost entirely male until probably the 1970s and 80s. And it was tough at first for some of the first women and people of color. But eventually, if they proved they could work as hard as the other guys who were already there, they became accepted and became part of the whole family.
So we know with the opening of the Ford plant, we saw it spur housing. A lot of homes were built nearby.
Yes, real estate speculators started buying up large tracts of land shortly after the plant opened. And I think they expected Highland Park to really blossom quickly. But then the Depression hit, and that slowed things down. So there was some residential development in the 30s, the Highland Pool was built and the Highland Golf Course and Water Tower. But it was really after World War II that the plant really spurred development and Highland Park really took off.
So we know the redevelopment plans, it'll be a couple of years before they actually start with construction there, but it'll be mostly residential with some green space. Do you get why people are so emotional about the closing of the plant and this big change that's coming?
Well, it's been a big part of St. Paul history. Whether or not you worked at the plant, this was a major economic engine in St. Paul for 86 years. It was physically a big presence. It was on the River Road. The Ford Motor Company was very active in civic affairs and donating to local causes, and they had the Highland Ball Park. And so it was a big part of the community for a long time. And it's amazing, you talk to five people, probably one of them at least knew somebody who worked at Ford or had a relative there. So the Ford plant clearly touched a lot of people in this community.
The documentary, it's a length of time. It's about an hour long?
It's an hour long.
Right. And What do you hope people get out of it? I mean, there are many articles about the history of the Fort Plant. There are books about it. Mm-hmm. How is this documentary different?
I really hope it's the personal stories of the people that worked there that really helps take you inside the plant as if you were working there yourself. You know, it gives you the feeling of being there. And to see the kind of dedication and pride these folks had in their work is very impressive, and even under very difficult working conditions. So I think it's just a way to celebrate the legacy of the thousands of people that work there day after day, year after year, and to appreciate what St. Paul had at the time, and that people remember that legacy just as the site is being developed now into a whole new type of use.
So remind us again when we can watch. I know it's on tonight on TPT, Twin Cities PBS.
Tonight at 9 o'clock on TPT2 with a repeat on Thursday on the TPT Life channel at 8 p.m. It will also be available online at tpt.org.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your dedication and hard work in putting this together and helping us hold on to our history here in Minnesota.
Well, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Peter Meyer is the producer of the new documentary called Made in St. Paul, Stories from the Ford Plant.